Genesis 1, you're looking at the book of Leviticus. And Bible study must be what you do diligently. The church must not be known for entertainment. The church of Christ must not be known for entertainment. God primarily designed his church so that we can know him and serve him. I understand that you sometimes you want to have a nice time, you understand, fellowship, which is all good. But the primary thing you must take away from every church meeting is the fact that I know God more now. I know his word better. If that one is taken away, you did not come to church. So we must not substitute edification with entertainment. Bible study must be diligently done. It must not be taken lightly or loosely. And we can't sweep it under the carpet. I remember when we first started church, just a few days ago. And, we started a few days ago, amen. And I want to say some things. I can remember vividly. I'll be teaching. And I want to say some things. And I'll have to hold back because I know my audience cannot take it. In fact, I remember the first service. When I was done, it was not the first service, I think it was about the third service. When I was done, Broshola came to me. And I've shared this story many times. He said, Pastor, I enjoyed that teaching so much. But people are not understanding. I said, we are people. You are not understanding your people. Somehow. And so I had to, immediately I knew, thank you for teaching me that. So immediately I knew that I had to slow down. But what you must not do, you can slow down, you can take your time, but you must not sweep it under the carpet. You know, sometimes just feel, can this be too boring? I was talking to someone, I can't remember, it was some years ago. And we're talking about Leviticus. And he said, one of the most boring books of the Bible. And I don't disagree with him on face value. Leviticus is one of the most boring. But he can't sweep it under the park carpet. Now I told him, I said, if you knew Leviticus, you will all get. I said, if you don't like Leviticus, that means you don't like Hebrews. So how did you know? It's not rocket science. They both talk about sacrifices. In fact, Leviticus is Hebrews. It's the Hebrews of the New Testament, as it were. So, we cannot sweep it on the carpet and say, it is too abstract. It does not concern us. Or act like some great preachers. This is Moses. Leave Moses alone. Follow Jesus. No, Jesus just appeared in your bedroom. Jesus taught Moses. And so we're looking at the book of Leviticus. It's going to be tedious. In fact, what we are looking at right now is not even the theology of the book itself. It's not hermeneutics. I'm going towards retreat, and that's why I'm studying Leviticus. So you can know that. I just want to quickly gloss over it. We are going to come back on it and do about 30 tracks on it. Amen. But for now, we're just going to do 5, 6, 7, and go home. Amen. This is 7. Alright, we're going to do 2024. Hallelujah. 2024 is doctrine. Okay, I'm not scaring you, I'm just informing you. Alright, so, God has called us to know him. To know him. In fact, he told, in Exodus 6, he said, they did not know me by my name, Jehovah. By my name, Jehovah, they did not know me. Exodus 6, verse 2 to 7. They did not know me, but I've called them out. In verse 6 and 7, that says, let my people go so that they can serve me. That is what God told Pharaoh through Moses. So, two reasons why God has called us. To know him and to serve him. Tell somebody, to know him.
Know him.
Come on, say to know him.
Know him.
And to serve him. So, if these two things are missing, then why are we here? We must not be Southern Christians. I'm going to keep saying that thing. Since the day I heard of it, it has not left my mind. Remember I explained Southern Christians to you. The Southern Christians are all about what can God do for me today. I lost my job last week. God, why have you not? A typical Southern Christian. Daddy God. A typical Southern Christian, he does not have any conviction in the gospel, does not have anything. All he is about is how God is going to meet his needs. All he's about is how he's going to eat. In fact, as he's reading the Bible, how does this concern my present situation? Who told you concerns your present situation? You know, that's a typical unserious Christian. Funny enough, it is south. He's going, that guy is a Southern Christian, he's going down. You know? How does this concern my situation? How can I apply this to my life? How can you apply it to your life, really? You should be looking at what does God want to teach me from it? How does this influence my walk? How can you be looking at your finances? Because you're looking at Leviticus. Say, all these Bibles, all these Bibles, all these Bibles. How will it multiply my money? Shut up. Everything about you is material. Everything about you is money. Everything about you is, okay, how to influence my life. Then you are not a Christian. Find a sugar daddy. Find someone that will meet your needs. You know, you don't even need God to give you money. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anybody that has money that is God that gave them? God does not print money. I was talking to someone, I said, that miracle money, does he have serial number? He laughed. I said, because I am very interested to know if your miracle money came with serial number. I wanted to know who put it. Did God stop the production and then did his own serial numbers? He did the one he wanted to give you, then he continued. He said, hey, oh, money has serial number out there. Every legal tender does. You must not be, you are teaching. How will it affect my life? Shut up. Are we sure you are even saved? Because the moment you get saved, one of the things that born in your heart is to know God. If it is not there, go and check it again. If that desire to know and fellowship with God, to serve Him better, if it is not there, something is lost. Something is lost. Hallelujah. But we know Him. Amen. Alright, so we said we're looking at the book of Leviticus. And because what we call the Old Testament, I've explained to you before, I've said it over and over again. There's nothing called Old Testament and New Testament. Those are just classifications. Nobody called Genesis or Leviticus or Malachi Old Testament in the entire Bible. What it was called is the law of the Lord, the words of the prophets, the scriptures. It was never called Old Testament. Same with Matthew to Revelation, was never called New Testament. It's the people that collated the King James and the postmodern books that now said, okay, this one is old, this one is new. Is that clear? Old and New Testament are teachings. They are not books. They are words. They are practices. Okay? So, and there's a tendency that when I got saved, when I was in GSS 3, we used to go around schools, secondary schools, to preach every Friday. That's a long time ago. And I used to go around Ibadan. It continued to like my SS2. At the point, we used to follow Uncle Solution, Adeyanju. Then later, it was myself and my friends, GJ, Gabe, Anu, and some few other guys. So we used to go to preach on Fridays to different secondary schools. We had schools that were already registered with. And there was an older man who we used to follow at first, not the Uncle Solution. He was also part of the SU movement, Scripture Union. So that's why if you come here, SU, I'm just looking at, yeah, it's true. What were you doing in your secondary school again? Answer me now. Bomuloli. Okay? Papa, what were you doing? You are doing rich kids. How do you call it? Is it rich kids? Huh? Cool kids. You are doing cool kids. Alright. You are the one I can ask. You are the cool kid. Okay, so then man always, every time he will tell people, start reading from Romans. We also took the initiative. So I didn't know anything. So me too, when I'm done preaching, so I say, start reading from Romans, that Omaloverati, Genesis. Because we felt that Genesis, Leviticus especially, Numbers, they can easily confuse a man. You know what I'm talking about, Abby? So we say, start from Romans. So one of the people who preached to came to me one day, said, you see that Romans that he said I should go and start from? You almost spoiled my life. See, by the time I got to chapter 4, I was lost. I said, me said, I've never read the Romans. I said, I bring it now. Which one? Which part? As he showed me the part. Moshe asked us, I can't cook one or two things. So that's it. He said, that's it. So I'm sure. So I went to the man that he was telling us, sir, someone showed me this, a sentence. He put on his glass. Say, what does he mean? sir, what does he mean? You know, a lot of people caught that bug on evangelism where you just tell people, start from New Testament. But the truth is, Jesus starts from the scriptures. In Luke 24, 25, to 27, you're familiar with the story. On the road to Emmaus, he says, all fools and slow of hearts, to believe all the prophet has spoken. Luke 24, 26 now. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Can we read verse 27 together? Look at your own Bibles. Luke 25, 27. Want to know? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, Jesus explained himself from Genesis to Malachi. Don't forget, at the time he was saying, in all the scriptures, there was no book of Luke. There was no Matthew. There was no Galatians. So, what they call the scriptures to them is Genesis to Malachi. Beginning at Moses, that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Beginning at Moses, and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. Look at verse 44. We're going to read verse 44 to 48 again. Are you there now? Want to go? These are what I spoke to you while I was yet with you. Must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning. That they might understand. Wait. So, Jesus says, these are the words I spoke to you while I was here with you. That all of these things might be fulfilled that are reading concerning me. He said, in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. So, can we say Leviticus is about Jesus? Wait. Are we going to be right if we say Leviticus is about Jesus? Come on, talk to me. So we can say Leviticus is about the Christ. Good. All right. The reason concerning me. Continue reading. All right. It's okay. So again. Luke 24:27, he says, he began at Moses and he taught himself. So, we can boldly say, Leviticus is about Jesus. You know, on the face value, as we're looking at it, it does not appear that it's about Jesus. It appears like it's about the priests. It appears like it's about the offering. It appears about the sacrifices. And the numerous drama and the rituals. And we're going to read the entire book. I think you should have read it this year already, right? We had it in the Bible study plan, reading plan. Abby? Some people are not following it. It's okay. You can't look at my face now. You are right. You want no more. Alright? If you got, when you got to Leviticus, you were bored. Let me see your hands. Let me see. You just say, what kind of book is this one? You see priest offering, sin offering, peace offering, burnt offering. There are actually five in the entire book. You are just repeating it. And we look at why it was repeated. Hopefully today we'll get there. Alright? Because I don't want you to pass October. So that November is close to retreat, we can start something. Alright, so we said, the prophet, or let's say Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But for the sake of this teaching, Leviticus, is it about Christ? Huh? The thing that they wrote about me. Okay, good. In John 5:39, turn there. We were there last week. John 5:39. So, what did Jesus say? You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they. So, sorry again, what did we call the scriptures? Genesis 2, Malachi. So Jesus says, when you search the scriptures, knowing that in them you will have life, or better put, in them life is communicated, that life testifies of me. In the scriptures, what you will see is me. And don't forget, the bone of contention in that conversation is Moses. And that's why, immediately after, he said, there's one that accuses you. Moses in whom you trust. Don't think I'll come and accuse the father again. Don't think I'll come and I'll explain that one last week. Abby. Don't think I'm going to come and then start saying everything again. Moses already told you what you need to do and what you are not doing. I'm not going to repeat it. Moses already said, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. John 5:45-46. For he wrote of me. So again, Jesus is confirming again that what Moses wrote, listen very well. For the sake of this teaching, the book of Leviticus is about him. How loving. The book of Leviticus is about Christ. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Are you having a nice time? Huh? Huh? Goodness. You should. Okay? 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm just still going over what we already said last week. Once we have a very good firm ground to take off, we'll take off. Alright, 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's start on verse 15. Where to go? From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Some of you are not even there, you are reading it, it's okay. Eh? All scripture is given a revelation of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. Wait. So he says, from a child, he's talking to Timothy, Paul talking to Timothy, he says, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Again, what is the Holy Scriptures again? Genesis to Malachi. He said, which are able to make you wise. Sophizo, S-O-P-H-I-Z-O, to make you smart, to make you intelligent. To bring your understanding of salvation. Salvation through faith in Christ. It means that when I'm seeing Genesis to Malachi, primarily I must be seeing it as it is talking to me about salvation. Is it making sense? I must not see the book primarily as story or creation of the world or history or genealogy. No. Moses says, I said Moses, hey God. Paul says the book is about salvation through faith in Christ. And this is the base of falsehood. This is the base of false teaching. If you want to be a false teacher, the first thing is to just see it and just read it literally. No, the book already has a bias. Genesis, for the sake of this teaching, Leviticus already has a bias. He's not going to be talking to you about just rituals. He's not going to be talking to you about drama. He's talking to you about Christ. So, as a Bible student, the first thing I do is sit down and look for Christ. And last week, we looked at Otto Tomeo, remember? I remember. Sojourn Minor, remember? Uh-huh. Where we said, the proper way to now explain the scriptures, because if everything there does not say Christ, you will not see the word Christ in Genesis to Malachi. If you see it, come and show me. You know? You will not even see Jesus. Maybe walking on the street, you're multiplying bread and fish, which you like, right? So, And he says, they all testify of me. How? Where? Explain. How can a book that does not show you, that does not feature you, testify of you? And it means that there is work to be done. And that's where Bible study comes in. So we began to look at what is God's way of us getting the truth. We said 2 Timothy 2:15, right? Turn there now. So we said, every time you handle the scriptures, don't forget, he said it is for doctrine. Doctrine means explanation, right? Come on. Huh? For doctrine, then for what? Reproof. I'm already in 2 Timothy 3:16 again back. We are going back to where I mentioned. For reproof, reproof means evidence. Electro in the Greek. E-L-E-G-C-H-O. E-L-E-G-C-H-O. That is, it brings you conviction. Conviction about what? Salvation through faith in Christ. So I must read Leviticus, and what I must see is conviction that, it's true. Jesus did this. When it is explained, which is the word doctrine, didaskalia, right? When it is explained, it must bring me conviction. That's the word reproof. Conviction about what God has done. And then, he said, the conviction brings correction. Epanatosis, just this one time in the New Testament Greek. Epanatosis. E-P-A-N-O-R-T-H-O-S-I-S. Epanatosis. So, which means to set things aright, to put things in order. Have you done a Lego house before? You know Lego house? The bricks? The game? When you put it in order and everything aligns, that's epanatosis. Alright? So, Paul says, when the scriptures are well explained, they will bring evidence. The evidence will set things properly. It will bring an epanotosis, and it will bring an instruction in righteousness. Now, that instruction in righteousness is not the way you have instruction and say, go there, don't go there, do this, don't do this. No. Instruction is what? Padea. It's used for growth. Words that make you grow. And that's why I use the word instruction. Words that make you grow. You find the same word in Ephesians 6:4. Words that make you grow. Now, why would he use righteousness? That is, you will grow in the right way. You will grow in the right thought. Sorry. Don't be bored already. Eh? Is that how Leviticus is? Okay. Alright, so we see what the scripture is all about. It's about, you have to explain it. Why do I have to explain it? Because readily you will not see that salvation. You look at Genesis and you say, salvation that pastor is saying, I cannot see anything. What I can see here is Israel just eating. After eating, they will sleep. They will experience one miracle. They will shout, miracle! Miracle! No, the entire Jesus. So, no, the entire Moses. Then after that miracle, they will soon forget. Then they start murmuring again. Which Moses is this? Then Moses does that miracle. He say, hey, Papino, I know say one day you go make us proud. And that was a cycle. And then say, where is Jesus in all of this drama? And you might get lost in the entire activity that you forget to see Christ. And so Paul says, you must explain. You must explain. You must bring out the evidence that corrects, that instructs. Alright? So we said, how do we now bring it out? 2 Timothy 2:15, that's where we are now. Learn something. Are you learning something? Alright? So, he says, study to show yourself approved. Are you there? Study to show yourself approved. A workman. And that is, a workman. E-R-G-A-T-E-S. Someone who labors. A workman that needs not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Paul helps us to know that the way to undo the Bible, to undo the scriptures, is that you rightly divide it. Now, rightly dividing does not mean I'm going to partition. Mm-mm. I told you last week, it's what autotomio, right? Autotemnon. Remember, where you cut. I know you have watched a surgery before, you have been in a surgery room, you have anyhow, you have seen surgery before, right? I gave an instance last week, I said, imagine someone wants to do surgery and they bring cutlass. Say, is there a bush that you want to clear? I said, no, it's for this surgery. Are you going to leave your head? I was watching one, ancient practice. They said the Africa was already doing brain surgery before the whites. And I saw the clip. It was crazy. That means my word. They carved out. I don't know how they did it though. No anesthesia. The person was awake. And they were giving water. And I was drinking water in medial surgery. Africans. I'm serious. I saw it. They did the bowl. Sorry, it's bowl. It's water. It's just a body hole. They did the bowl. And they were walking on the brain. I'm tired. And they said, take water. And they drank water from the calabash. Say, hey, boy. Now, that's not the kind of surgery we are talking about. The surgery that is well done, amen. The one that they will take, they have different sets of knives and all of that. You know, there's a way you carefully do surgery so that you don't injure the baby. Right? You want to bring out the baby and you've not spoiled the person's stomach. Imagine after giving birth one time, the surgery was like, yeah. Yeah. See, this skin is tough. This skin is tough. Well, let me use my hand. Yeah. You know, that's how surgery is done. Yeah. Yeah. You pull it from that place. You pull. 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah. You see, you're yeah. That's the way some people do the scriptures. Because you are just looking at the drama and you get lost in the drama. So you are doing, yeah. I didn't pull from that place. I want to see something, Moses. Pull. You know? Imagine, now, there was one video I saw. He wanted to do ordination service. And the person literally went to dress like the priest in Leviticus. There's a dressing for a priest in Leviticus. And he went to dress like that. And they were quoting the place. I said, hey. Now, I have no issue with your dressing. Now, I can forgive you on some grounds. Number one, you came from the past. So your experience is still hurting you and somehow you have not gotten past that era. But how far can you go from 2021, as at the time of the video, to Leviticus? You skip the entire Jesus time. Even the priest during Jesus time, you don't wear the robes of Leviticus. You see some people, they will climb us. They will not put blood on the road. They will be doing, after the Levitical order, say, we are the real Bible followers. You are doing, yeah. That's not rightly dividing the word of truth. That is murdering the word of truth. So, we already have a pathway to follow. We are going to bring out God's plan, which is Christ. Abi? Don't forget that about me. Abi, Luke 24:27, Luke 24:46-48. Abi, John 5:39, 7 Timothy 3:16. Abi, now we have come out of that and say that the scriptures are about Christ. All right, the scriptures are about Christ. So, why we are reading all those rituals in Leviticus? How can we bring Christ out carefully? We will read it together, and then we'll bring Christ out because it's easy to get lost in the drama. You can read Exodus, and all you see is the Hebrew women. Who does not like that? Amen. Joy, when you were pregnant, you like Hebrew women. Now imagine you're just Hebrew women. You just get to the hospital, and it's like you are urinating. And then the baby has come out. Sisters, you don't like that. Eh? So you know, we don't want to get pregnant because of that. You just think about it and say, hey God. I had a friend in university. Every time they say, if you went to medical school and they are teaching you, if you go to O and G class, Tosoke, you know what I'm talking about. And they start talking to you about the complications of pregnancy and labor. I tell you, I kid you not, I'm a man. I will never get pregnant, right? I was scared. I'm a man. I know I will never get pregnant. You know, there are some people that as a man, they can still say they want to get pregnant. Trans amusement park. Me, I cannot get pregnant. And when they were mentioning the complications, the things that can go with pregnancy, I say, hey! write some. They say, hey, that's not all. No, they will tell you to complete your first trimester, second trimester, third trimester. I say, labor. Now let's go to labor. Let's see complication. Say, post-labor. Post-natal. There are things that can happen. There was a lady that had vitiligo. You know vitiligo? Where, you know, around the eyes, mouth, nose, ear. It's just discoloration. Come pregnant. Say, hey, that child will not listen to you. You know, say they should not beat the child. Just beat the child. Child that had vitiligo because of you. Because that was stress-induced, though. You know, and then you look at all of that. You might just say, all I am learning from Exodus today is Hebrew women. But when the epistles took Exodus, what did they bring out? By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. By faith, Moses endured a sin in that is invisible. So, what the epistles brought out from the entire Exodus is Moses' faith in God's faithfulness. Don't forget Galatians, right? Moses' faith in God's faithfulness. How Moses believed in God. If you bring out any other thing, you are a false teacher. Now, I know that you are sincere, so you will be a sincere false teacher. If you go to Exodus and all you are seeing is, oh, Moses is going to be serpent. And so, oh, you bring serpent and I believe in it up every Sunday. You go for their words. Their words of faith. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? You allow their words to judge their experiences. Or better put, you use their words to judge their experiences. Listen to me, if you don't understand what we call Old Testament, there is no way you understand the Bible. You cannot tell me you understand Matthew. I will not believe you. Jesus is not even not believing you. You don't understand it. And that's the reason why a lot of people just say a lot of things. And I just laugh. One preacher said, we are not like Moses, groping in the dark. Now Moses did not know what he was doing. He did not have the Spirit of God. Who told Moses? Moses! Ha! All the Old Testament people, they know the Spirit of God. I showed you now. The Spirit of God within. Within. Say, so you have it upon. Not alright. Upon. Upon, God. They had it within, they had it upon. 2023, I can say this one now. Amen? He said, no, they didn't have the Spirit of God. We now, we are greater. Greater, God. Blender, me. Alright, so that you don't end up speaking nonsense, listen to teachings like this. I gave you assignment to go and listen to the Diary of Prophets, right? Some people don't listen to it, some people just open it, just downloaded it, and it's in your folder. Swala. Alright, so we said, we must rightly divide. The book has a purpose, it's not just a storybook. Don't go for the fanciful stories, go for the word of faith. The word of faith. Imagine reading Ezekiel 36, 25-27. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. Eh? In this way that any I would like you to, I'll sprinkle clean water, and you are carrying water. And I say, I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. Don't you look stupid. Because Ezekiel 36 is about the Spirit of God in the new creation. So, I cannot afford to be a novice of what we call the Old Testament. It is part of, I told you the Bible is 66 books. Not Matthew to Revelation. Don't be a lazy Christian. A Christian that is all about God meeting his needs. Daddy God. What's Daddy God? Say, our daddy in the sky. Genesis, yeah, I got up. Daddy in the sky. Have you heard that before? Sky daddy. I say, hey, God. I'm Gen Z, but I don't know these things. I'm sure I'm Gen Z. If you don't believe me, that now you used to be, you are Gen A. I'm Gen Z. And they not, in the meeting, they not tell me this one. Sky Daddy, I love you, Lord. What are we doing today? Like MTN. You must know the scriptures. Say, I love the word of God. Say, I love the word of God. You see, genuinely, I love the word of God. In God. What God? How about some people's way are not answered? Hello, God. God, the call. Alright, so, a healthy understanding of Leviticus will be a faith understanding. I'm trying to meet up with time. So it becomes, our reading becomes healthy when it is the message of faith. Don't forget the baseline will be salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So the prophet's words are for faith. Use their words to interpret their experiences. Use their words to interpret their experiences. Say, but Moses removed his shoe now in the land. What was the consistent land in Exodus? The promised land. Abi? And that promised land, was it Canaan? No. Because they eventually got to Canaan and they were still moving. And Joshua was still saying, there still remains a rest. There still remains a land. A promised one. If you are smart and you have read the Bible, if you are following from Exodus, you say, they've gotten to Canaan. Then they left. Where are you going to now? This is it. They said, no, this is not it. Because the land was not Canaan. And it was not a Jebu. Was not physical. We were saying this one before. That's why I told you I listened to Daniel the Prophet. So, amen. The land was not physical. Since 2019. I'm 2018. When you explain that one? Okay. So, you use their words to explain their experiences. If it's about that, all of us should not be wearing shoes. Amen. There was one person I met, they don't wear shoes. At the lorry. As they sleep as on the bag. You go to the north. The lorry is not central, really. If you go to the north where the serious eat, nobody will tell you to wear shoes. As we came out from the bus, the ground was hot. Even with that, we are wearing sneakers. I said, hey. It was slippers. Doctrine has changed. Amen. And if you don't like wearing shoes, fine. You can come to church without shoes. Amen. This place is wrong, right? But you must use the words of Moses to explain that experience. You can't just take not wearing shoe and that's all. It's like taking feet washing. Jesus took water and washed the feet of disciples. Then he take it and say, that's what we'll be doing now. He did it once. He's an hypodegma. He's an example. He is not telling you continue doing this. No, he was using it to teach something. It's like me bringing Stamoyo and bringing Delight and say, okay, this is example and all of that. Okay, so imagine this person marries this person and after service, you're saying happy married life. It's stupid. Happy married life. So, wow, okay, sir. You should be asking, sorry, is everything fine at home? Because that was an example. You don't pick examples and make them doctrine. Okay? Are you there now? Come on, are you there? So faith will be found in what they said. Primarily, what they believed. So you pay attention to what they are saying. Because human leaning will be to look at the things that are happening. You look at the sacrifices of Leviticus. Say, all the sacrifice. She will not bring in church. Now the question is, you know, there are people who just cherry pick things. So you pick some things out of Leviticus. You pick things like tithe, which Jesus never taught, Paul never taught. And if two of the loudest commentators in the New Testament never taught tithing, which I'm not against, I've always told you tithe is not a bad thing at all. You should pay your tithe if you want to. But Jesus never taught it. Paul never taught it. What they taught was generosity. Generosity towards the church. Generosity towards those who lead in the church. Generosity towards the poor. Right? Generosity towards humanity. They never taught tithe. But that tithing principle and everything was from Leviticus. Now, if I can bring tithe from Leviticus, then I must bring all those sacrifices too. You can't choose one and say you are not doing one. Amen? You now chose the one that has to do with money. How about next week Sunday as Bortosin is coming to church? You bring total those four. Amen. With a big cap on your head. And you come with. There are some people that if they become sacrifice, it's scarier. Like, brother Dan, how to do you here? Toby. Yes. Chidera. She gave you up. No, hey, they come sacrifice, you start looking, oh, what's happening in church today? With red clothes. We bring the sacrifice of praise. The pastor comes in with a staff. Boom. Oh, fefe, musala, tewo, bebo, agban. You first go downstairs, check banner again. Glorious Ashtray, Kina, not glorious Ashtray. Boom. In this only convocation, are people redeemed from Egypt? What time? After I said, nothing doesn't do. I don't know, man, all that I just say, no man, you are, yeah, if I don't, I will lose it. After I said, turn it, get it, get me. I mean, that's not dry, wait. The heat is not getting, I could not, you know, you can't afford to cherry pick the sacrifices. What we must do is to look at it and explain. Is to look at it and say, last week we do that tattoo, Abby? And we said, in the same breath where he said, do not mark your body, do not make any prints on your body, is in the same breath where he says, don't shave your beard. Don't trim your hair. Imagine if he said, don't trim your hair, can you imagine what we say about weaving? Is there? In Leviticus. I say, eh? Brazilian. Peruvian, there's Peruvian air. Is there Nigerian air? There's no Nigerian. Why? Why discrimination? Eh? Okay, we already have Nigerian air. No, like, we don't export. We don't. Eh, Nero. The guy. Alright, so in the same Leviticus, you find different kind of laws. But what you must not forget is about who? Come on, say it now. That's it. How is it about Christ? We'll get them. So, look at Luke 24. Let's go back there. Learn something. These are the reasons for church. Hallelujah. Where you know what you are reading. That pastor I spoke to, is that northern pastor, that said they're Southern Christians. He was telling me, said, he is in the north. He said, the average northern, said, forget the male child, female child of 10 already knows the Quran in and out. That you see 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, the way they will be quoting. I said, eh? And in the church of God, you bring a 13-year-old, they say he still does not know much. Let them just be doing surgery. Now, I understand surgery. I like surgery. I did surgery. I did surgery. Which other one? Bible quiz. Another. In fact, they are good. But that's the way we know that they are going to serve God from young. But in my past, so Bible quiz. They're asking you, who is the disciple that betrayed Jesus 3 times? That denied Jesus 3 times? You said Judas. Ah! That's how we start knowing that this guy is not taking spiritual growth serious. As much as those things are good, teach them God's word. Who told you a 6-year-old cannot understand the gospel? Who told you? You cannot tell me that one. I've seen a 7-year-old that went on outreach together and has disciples and has a book for discipleship. This is not SEO. This is someone I know. She's still preaching the gospel now. She's about 15 now. Amen. About 13. I'll call, I'll find out, I'll tell you next week. You know, and she has a, the one that I know, she has a mechanic close to their house that she was teaching the gospel. She came from school, did assignment, and just took up a bag. As about it was 7. Where are you going to? I want to see my disciple. 7-year-old. That's how they look. So what do you want to teach them? Bro, let me see now. So I'll just talk about the temple. Then he asked a question last week about inward witness.
You know in what witness? The witness of the human spirit born again. I said, stop. Stop, man. Oh, you know it. 7 years old. Tell me where we run out church. In Ibadan. One Muslim almost embarrassed our brother that went on our church together. He went to the... They now went to call one boy for him. One small boy. The people he was preaching, they went to call that small boy. That boy that came. That boy that told him. You know in Isaiah, Isaiah said, our own brother that went to our church together, and I said, Isaiah, eh. He said, tell me which verse. He just started opening. He was almost writing. I found quite any Bible study. So you like from what you said now, do you know that Abraham, which is our own Ibrahim, you know that he said, hey, I didn't know. Wow, thank you for. We have to step in. That boy knew what he was saying. He has not done the Quran, he has any Bible. Then there's the Christian. Every time they are teaching Bible, you are sleeping. You are foolish. It's not, that's fool. That's foolishness. Why are you then a Christian? Just be an arm robber. Just, I don't know. The moment you call yourself a Christian, you are called Christian because you study God's word. Don't forget, the first place where they are called Christian in Antioch was because they were studying for a year. They were studying for a year. If you have to study Bible for a year now, problem, you are creating. They will put you on Insta blog. That pastor that does not allow people to go to work. They were studying for a year, then they were called Christians at Antioch. So it's not a label. It's not a nickname. It is labor to be called Christian. That's the stepping. By that we are done. Imagine, this was the way what they are saying. How embarrassing can that be for you as a Christian? When they say this one, they know what they are saying. So we told him we'll come back. We didn't go back though. Amen. Southern Christians. Hallelujah. So I'm not a Southern Christian. Luke 24, I asked you to go back there. Okay. Verse 44. These are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses. That's what that. So he says, that they must be fulfilled. Meaning that, listen, whatever you're going to see about Christ in the prophets is not yet fulfilled. Whatever you're going to see about Christ in Leviticus is not yet fulfilled. It will be in a promissory note. If it is fulfilled, then it's not about him. Jesus says, what is about him will be fulfilled. Fulfilled means to bring to pass. To bring to completion. So, they were not fulfilled yet. We must look at that, way. Matthew 22. Bible study is the skeleton and the spine of Christianity. Matthew 22. We are entering Leviticus small now. Small. Matthew 22. Verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. This one didn't have work. Then one of them, who was a lawyer, asked a question, tempting him, saying, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Don't forget the law. The law will be what? The writings of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Don't forget, Deuteronomy is the epistle of Moses. It's the second hearing. It's like the interpretation of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So he puts Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Don't forget, when we get to Deuteronomy, we'll do that. He put Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers together and then was saying everything he has said already in Deuteronomy. Okay? Alright, so he says the things that is in the law, okay? What is the greatest commandment in the law? For the sake of this teaching, let's put, what is the greatest commandment in what? Leviticus. That is, if I'm going to read Leviticus, which ritual should I do? Then Jesus answered, verse 37, look at your Bibles please. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart with all your soul, with all your mind. Ah. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. That is, when I say the first is proton, right? The proton. P-R-O-T-O-N. That is the example. The model. When you say Jesus is the firstborn, doesn't mean that the second born, the third born. That's a Boregin is the second born. No. Jesus is the firstborn. That is, he is the example. He's the one that every other person now follows. We now look like him. We now act like him. We are born of him. Is it making sense? So when he says he's the first begotten from the dead, it means that he is the one that showed us what a new creation is. Jesus is the firstborn again, as I say. Okay? So when he says the first commandment, that is the proton, is you will love the Lord your God. How can I see Leviticus? We read Leviticus a bit last week. How can I see Leviticus and all I will see is love your God? It's not there. You are not talking about don't shave your beard. Don't be like Bro Pam. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. If I don't sing like this, for those are music team, don't run like this. Everything is in Leviticus. Moses was just writing things. And you say, this is the great commandment that is there. They must have been looking at him and say, what's he saying? They said, the second is like unto it. Deuteronomy is like unto it. You will love your neighbor as yourself. Don't forget, the two things he said is in Deuteronomy 6:9 and Leviticus 19:18. Deuteronomy 6:5 rather. Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. So when he says the first, love the Lord your God, that's Deuteronomy 6:5, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. The second is like unto it, flipped it, Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor as yourself. That means, as I'm reading Leviticus, listen, what I must see is, I must love God, and I must love humanity. That's Leviticus. I must love God, and I must love my neighbor. How do I see that in the midst of the numerous rituals? In the midst of the numerous sacrifices? Jesus says, that's the entire law and the prophets. He said, on these two, hang the law and the prophets. The word hang is the word kremanumi. K-R-E-M-A-N-N-U-M-I. K-R-E-M-A-N-N-U-M-I. It means to sum up. On these two sum up Leviticus. These two sum up Leviticus. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your souls, okay? With all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two sum up the law and the prophets. So if you study Leviticus and you don't see love your neighbor, then you're not doing the right thing. Then you're a sincere false teacher. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we learning something? So, that's how to read Leviticus. You focus on the words. So, when Jesus was done, remember, he had already silenced the Sadducees. His Pharisees are now the one he's silencing now. Then he said, as we are going, because they were wondering, this guy must have read something that we did not read. They were the masters at reading nonsense. They were the masters at cherry picking and just picking out texts. They didn't read together. For, now, look at me. What Jesus said, does that look like a function of someone who has read it properly? Eh? Does that look like someone who has read very well? Say, if you want to know what's in Leviticus, it's about loving your God and love your neighbors. I can't see it. You read it again. As they were going, confused, he said, come. The Sadducees came. You two have come. Let me ask you two one thing. David, Christ, whose son is he? He said, he's the son of David. He said, you are right. He said, you don't know us. Didiv. You know, they say known as Didiv. Doctor of Divinity. I mean, DSC. I have DSC, Didiv, Master, HIV. How can I not know that Christ is the son of David? He said, how then did David call him Lord? If he was his son, what's he doing? He's telling them, you have not read. Yahweh said to Adonai, Sit down at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. But they have to say Yahweh said to Adonai. In the later translation, it actually meant to be Yahweh said to Yahweh, which is confirming the words of Moses, the Lord your God is one. But because translators too are running mental and say, no, Yahweh said to Adonai. Let's leave it like that. Don't worry, you don't know what I'm saying. Very soon. Very soon we'll get there. Amen. Amen. Just like this. We'll get to there. Anyway, Yahweh said to Adonai, sit down at my right hand, I make your enemies. They said, Bible says, from that day they did not ask him a single question. They just said, we'll kill this one. This one has to die. They start plotting his death. He said, no, but I don't ask questions. As you are going to say, don't ask him a question again. This guy, we'll kill him if he does not die. See how he embarrassed us. See how he embarrassed us. I can't be asking. Can't be so. He's not David's son. He's not David's son. He's David's son. But what he says is also true. David says someone will sit on his throne. And it was not Solomon. Because Solomon is not David's Lord. What's happening? That means whoever you are meant to love, the Lord your God, has not yet come. So, Jesus, I love the way a theologian said it, one of my favorites. He said, every time Jesus finds that someone is mischievous, he throws something at them. He puts a bomb there that you'll be dealing with forever. Whose son is he? That's a function of an anagnosko. Remember anagnosko? Where you read properly. Hallelujah. So I love God's word. Alright. Okay. So, again, we said the summation, what sums up Leviticus? Again. I can't hear you. Say it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Eh? And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. So in reading Leviticus, we must be careful. Because all you are going to see is blood. Let's look at Leviticus. Look at Leviticus chapter 1. Learn something? Huh? I am learning. I am. You should. Leviticus chapter 1. Okay. We have read verse 11, Abi. And some verse 12. And he shall cut into pieces with his head and his fat, and the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar, and he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water. And the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice. An offering made by fire is sweet savour unto the Lord. If the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring the offering of turtledoves or of young pigeons, and the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung on the side of the altar, and he shall pluck away the crop of his feathers, and cast it unto the altar, on the east part, by the place of the ashes, and he shall cleave it unto the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet savour unto the Lord. Chapter 2 verse 1. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be made of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it, and put frankincense thereon, and he shall bring it unto Aaron's son, the priest, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It's the thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou shalt bring an oblation of a meat offering, baking in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. Now, you like wafers? Huh? You like wafers? You should be liking Leviticus then. And if thy oblation be a meat offering, baking in a pan. That is, the one that's baking in the oven is the one baking in a pan. Ah, I love Leviticus. Don't you? If you like food, you like Leviticus. It teaches you different ways you can prepare things. Verse 5, chapter 2. If the oblation be a meat offering in a pan, it shall be of fine flour and leaven, mingled with oil. Thou shalt part it in pieces, and pour oil thereon. It's a meat offering. If the oblation be of a meat baking in a frying pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil, and you bring the meat offering that is made unto this unto the Lord. And when it is presented unto the priest, he shall bring it unto the altar, and the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof, and shall burn it upon the altar. It's an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that which is left of the meat shall be Aaron's son and his Aaron's and his sons. Ah, Jesus. At this moment, don't you want to be Aaron and his sons? Eh? And they are eating fine flour. They are eating meat. Meat with fried pan. You know, his sons will sometimes come and say, I don't want the one with fried pan. I want the one with oven. Hallelujah. Oh, the privilege to be here. Alright? You shall, and that shall bring the meat offering to, verse 8. Bring the meat offering that is made unto this one to the Lord. Is that where we are? We are in verse 10. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the most holy thing of the offering, it is the most holy of the offerings unto the Lord made by fire. No meat offering which you shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with living. For you shall burn no living, nor any honey, in any offering made of the Lord by fire. As for the oblation of the first fruit, you shall offer them unto the Lord, but it shall not be burnt on the altar for a sweet savour. And every oblation of a meat offering shall, you will season with salt. Neither shall you suffer the salt of the covenant of the Lord to be lacking from your meat. Salt of the covenant of the Lord. That sounds like something nice. With all your offerings thou shalt offer salt. As you say, we are not going to use salt. We put salt on it now. Amen. And thou shalt offer a meat offering of your first fruit unto the Lord. Thou shalt offer for the meat offering and for thy first fruit green ears of corn dried by the fire. Even corn. Some people like corn. Amen. I'm not going to mention names. Some people like corn in this church. Dried by fire. Why were you looking at that side? Is it Bopam or Sajid? Which one? Okay. I leave you to find out. Amen. And thou shalt put oil, verse 15, upon it and lay frankincense thereon, for it's a meat offering. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it, part of the beaten corn thereof, and part of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, is an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Verse chapter 3. And if the oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offers it to the head, where it be a male or female, he shall offer without blemish unto the Lord. He shall lay his hands upon the head of his offering, and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. He shall offer the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covers the inwards, and all the fat upon the outwards, and the two kidneys and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the cow above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. And Aaron's sons shall burn it up on the altar, upon the burnt sacrifice, which is upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Observe the repetition. It's an offering made by fire. You have seen that many times now. Eh? It's the most holy. An offering made by fire, a sweet savour unto the Lord. Put that somewhere. That is Leviticus. And if his offerings of a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, he shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hands upon the head of his offering, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's son shall sprinkle the blood thereof round about the. I know we have seen that. He's repeating the same thing. They will sprinkle the blood round about the altar. Abi, you have seen the repetition like 3 times. Okay, good. If you are reading with me, you should have seen it. Let's go back there. Verse 9. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the fat thereof and the whole rump, he shall take off, add by the backbone, and the fat that covers the inward, and all the fat that is upon the outward, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the cow above the liver. In the second hour, we're reading this now. And the cow above the liver, with the kidneys, he shall take away. And it shall he take away. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It is food of the offering made on fire by the Lord. And if his offering be a goat, He shall offer it before the Lord, and he shall lay his hands upon the head of it, and kill it before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Aaron's son will sprinkle the blood thereof around about the altar, and he shall offer thereof his offering, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The fat there that covers the inwards, and the fat that is upon the outwards, the two kidneys, the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, he shall take away, and the priest shall boil upon the altar. It is the food of the offering made by fire, for a sweet savour, and all the fat is the Lord's. It shall be all the fat is the Lord's. Okay? It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, and you shall eat neither fat nor blood. Amen.
Did you learn anything? Eh? Did you learn anything? Yeah, I don't learn anything. Did you? You just literally tell Jenny how to kill. When you kill, let me tell you the repetitive things. The two kidneys by the flanks, and the cow above the liver, you take it, is an sweet offering of the Lord. And Aaron's son shall take the blood thereof it, and he shall sprinkle it about the altar, round about. Abi? And if the offering is a goat, you shall take it and slaughter it outside the tabernacle, and you shall take the two kidneys by the flanks, and the cow above the liver. It's a sweet smelling savour. It's an offering unto the Lord. Jesus said, it's about me. You see that there's a need for rightly dividing. Moses was not making this. Jesus said, it's about me. Jesus, I don't understand. The kidney or Aaron's sons or the altar. Jesus said, if you don't look very well, it's about loving your Lord. I understand it's about you, okay. It's about loving your God and loving your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The two kidneys. Or Aaron's son. Oh, Aaron's son, I love them. Hallelujah. But that's what makes Leviticus interesting, isn't it? So let's look at Leviticus as we begin to close a bit. So where did all this sacrifice come from? Don't forget the genesis of everything. When you look at sacrifice, the first person that comes to your head is who? Yeah, Abraham should be the first. But who was the first person that did it? Eh? Abraham. But the first reasonable sacrifice that we are going to look at is Abraham, right? But let's look at Abraham. In Genesis 4, because there's a law of first mention. So that when you meet question on outreach about Leviticus, you not be looking and say, with JC Media, as populated as JC Media is, Pastor has not said anything about Leviticus. Now I have. Amen. In Genesis 4, verse 1, and Adam knew his wife, Eve, that's intimate knowledge, and she conceived, and bore Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. You know that this is the first comedy in the Bible. Amen? That's the first comedic statement in the scriptures. How can you give birth to Cain and he says the seed of the woman? You are not even the woman. And she brought Cain, and she gave birth to the brother Abel. And Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. In the brother of time, the universe, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. It does sound like Leviticus. A bit. Okay? The firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And he had respect, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. Amen. Look up. So, Abel brought an offering. Just like the Levitical order. Amen? This is the first time we see a man bring an offering. Not even Adam, not even Eve. They are busy sleeping around. Abel brought offering. Cain too did. And God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's own. Why? Like that video that I saw on your own status. I want you to be my girlfriend. Yes or no? If no, why? Why? Why did God accept Abel's offering and reject Cain's own? Why? Hebrews chapter
11. I love the man of Galilee.
Verse 11.
First, he's not man of Galilee. That's the man who rose again. He's the same man. Don't worry. We have not backslidden. He's the same man. He's the one that rose again. No? He's not when he rose again, I went to Galilee.
Alright, Hebrews 11, you there?
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen.
Yes or no? Is that about buying car key while waiting for a car? No. You can't buy car key when you don't have a car, you are wasting money. Or car key holder. Why not use that one to take transport?
For you, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. The elders, of course, talking about men of old, the Old Testament, as we call them. Through faith, you understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen are not made by the things we are seen. Can we verse 4 together?
No, I want everybody. Those at the back. Are ready?
Hebrews 11, 4. Want to go? By faith, Abel offered, by which he brought a, and by he being dead, yes, where he says, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Now, in Hebrews, when you see a more excellent sacrifice, it doesn't mean that it's better. It means that it is eternal. Jesus is a better mediator. He's saying that, unlike Moses and Aaron that died, Jesus lives forever. A better covenant, a new covenant. A better covenant is not that, oh, this one is good, this one is better. No, he's saying a better covenant is a covenant that lasts forever. We taught this before, right? Salvation through faith. Abi? Yes, that must be where we taught it. So when you say better in the book of Hebrews, it's not about good, better, best. It's about temporary and eternal. Right? So, you say by faith, Abel offered an eternal sacrifice. But don't forget what he said earlier. Whatever faith is, it is not sin. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So whatever was the faith was not visible to the eyes. So it was not because Cain offered fruits. I have heard different kind of wow. Don't say that God does not like fruits. Well, he likes meat. God must be obeyed. Amen. He just likes meat, no fruits. That Cain brought spoiled fruit. Why are you like this? You should be working for African Magic, Yoruba. Be writing film. Nonsense. Cain was the first person that offered offering. Not Abel. Abel copied. So give Cain his props. Abel copied. He saw an example. A good example. And he copied. The difference is their hearts. Because whatever was the faith, whatever was the reason why God accepted Abel and rejected Cain was not about what they offered. It was about what they believed. It was about what they believed. So Abel believed in God and then he saw it fit that, oh, you know what? One day, I'm going to just the way the Lamb of God will take away the sin of the world, I'm going to offer the same. He could have offered fruit too. It was about his heart, not about his basket. Is it making sense? It was about who he believed, not what he offered. So, we already see a genesis of sacrifices. That sacrifices are based on who? They are accepted or rejected on the basis of who? Faith in Christ. Thank you. So, the first place you see sacrifice in the entire scriptures, a sacrifice is accepted or rejected on the grounds of faith in Christ. If it confirms your faith in Christ, then the sacrifice is accepted. If you don't have faith in Christ, if you like bring a lamb and say, this is the lamb, it will be rejected. Because it's not about what you offer, it's about who you believe. Another example, as I close, is Genesis 22. Genesis 22, Abraham. Look where we are coming from. We said, Leviticus is about sacrifices. And sacrifices are accepted and rejected upon the premise of faith in Christ. In Genesis 22, Abraham offered his son, Isaac, on Moriah. Coincidentally, historians have said that was the same mountain where Jesus was crucified. The same exact one. That was the same place where they took the cross. Funny. And if you are a dramatist, you know, you can find, just say, they took the wood. Cross. How about the servants? They're the two thieves. That was about Abraham. He said, God offered himself. And he's still there. Okay. This is where. So, he took his son to Moriah. He said, we are going to worship God. Mark that word. We'll come back to it next week. We are going to worship God. And how many of you, if your dad has taken you like that, you have issues. Amen. Yeah? This particular Gen Z. So he's not giving now. He's not giving. We just left the house. Okru. What other slang is around? So I can be using it. Eh? Say it now. P-U-R-E. P-U-R. Paul. Hallelujah. I'm learning. I'm growing. Gen B. Let me Gen Z talk, Gary. Are you Gen Z? But you don't know it. Gen Z, you are a village girl, isn't it, Gary? We've been Gen Z, Gary. So let's talk. Father, where are we going to? Vacation. It's okay. I like that. I like the sound of that. Where? Ibiza? Santorini? Paris? Dubai? Maldives? Give me an example. You must have had them in your book list for long. Eh? Seychelles. I know places now. You know, and if I say no, Moriah. Let's go to Moriah. I say, oh, wow, nice. I say, wow, why are the wood? He say, for camping. It's to camp, to build the tents. I say, oh, nice. I love this nature. You will love it. Then he got there, and he laid the wood. I said, this does not look like a tent. Father, Papa, Pops, this does not look like a tent. This is like an altar. Exactly, you will find out. Then he put his son on and said, what are we doing? He said, I want you to measure the roof. So that our head will not be touching the roof. Just like the knife. Said, Papa, what is it? To mark. Then Abraham said, this is a goat, not Isaac. And he brought out the goat and he said, the Lord has provided himself. I see the Lord. I see God's provision. Don't forget, he told Isaac, said, where is this sacrifice? He said, humans cannot bring this sacrifice. God will provide that one. That's what he told Isaac. As we were going, he said, I see the wood, I see all the things that he said, where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb? He said, humans cannot bring it. God will provide. God will provide the sacrifice. Is that John 1:29? This is the lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Is that it? So, to teach Isaac that, then he now brought the goat and said, you know what? If I kill you, you will not rise from the dead. But God's own son is going to rise from the dead. So, God, I see God's provision in this form of a sheep. A ram caught in a thicket, then he killed that one, and they offered, and they went home. So, who is the ultimate sacrifice? Isaac or Christ? Okay. Who is the ultimate sacrifice? Ram or Christ? Huh? So even Abraham that brought the ram, he only brought it because there was no Christ in the picture. Abi, don't forget, they will be fulfilled. Eh? That all things might be fulfilled. Abi? So if it's not fulfilled, you have to find something to replace it. Abi? So in his own worship of God, he now brought something to just fill in the gap and then offer. But what must you look at? The ram or the lesson? What is the lesson? Christ is our, say it now, Christ is our sacrifice, is our offering. That is Leviticus. That is Leviticus. Wait for me as I close. So, Leviticus is on the premise or is built on Jesus as the sacrifice. But what else do we see in Abraham's story? Not just that Jesus is the sacrifice, but that we ought to also now serve as sacrifice. Abraham will bring his son and he said, you know what? As he will lay his life for, his life for us, he's laid down his life for us, we must also be ready to lay down our lives. Just like this. Just like this. We're going to see that a repetitive thing all over Genesis. You see with Noah, where the sacrifice of Jesus, the offering of Jesus is not just for our sins, it's also for our example. We see that much more in Hebrews 8 as we go on in subsequent weeks. So Jesus, can we say a living sacrifice is in focus? Huh? A living sacrifice. Philippians 1:29, even as I was just close on that. For unto you it is given. Please look at the Bibles. Is given in the behalf of Christ. Not only to believe on him, but to also suffer for his sake. So, what does your sacrifice teach us? That we also must sacrifice ourselves. Now the Romans 12 will tell you, I beseech you, present yourself a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That is a Leviticus. A living sacrifice. Again, we are just establishing the foundations of this teaching. We will go into it properly. Present yourself a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. Verse 5. You also as lively stones, you are built up a spiritual house. Woo! A holy priesthood. Is this sound like a Leviticus? It says you as a Christian, you are built up a spiritual house. Like that temple. Like that tabernacle. We see all of that. How would that flesh the believer? An holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So Christ's sacrifice is for our sins and it's also for our example. Look at Hebrews 8. Let me just quickly touch it. Hebrews chapter 8. Now the things, verse 1, we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. We look at our word high priest. Why is it called high priest? I got it in the book of Hebrews. We'll look at it. We have such an high priest who sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Again, right hand, throne, heavens, those are popular themes. Glorious House Church. You should know that by now. In the midst of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. True tabernacle, is he trying to diss a Leviticus? We'll see. Which the Lord pitched and not man. For every price, high priest is ordained to offer gift and sacrifices wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Can we read verse 5 and 6 together?
who serve unto an example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to build, to make a tabernacle. For I see, I say unto you, that you make all things according to the pattern I showed you in the mount. But now how? He had obtained a more excellent ministry. By how much also is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then there should have no been place to be sought for the second. For finding fault with them, behold, the day is come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. We are going to look at that. Very, very interesting discourse. When I tell you that this is one of my favorite books, I was not kidding at all. Not because of the book itself, but because of the lessons. Hallelujah. So, again, the sacrifice of Jesus, who was the spiritual house. Don't forget it, what he said in John, destroy this temple. My father's house. Destroy this, my father's house. Right? Abi? The temple was his father's house in John 2. Abi? After the wedding of Cana of Galilee, he went in the temple and he saw those who were buying and selling. And he drove them out. And the disciples, remember, said, the zeal of his father's house has consumed me. So the temple was his father's house. Abi? Abi? And he said, destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll build it. If you are confused times five before, you complete times 500. Because how can you say destroy this temple? And by invariably saying that, what has Jesus done? He has called himself the Father's house. Eh? Which eventually Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwells in you. So, Paul is saying, and Jesus is saying, that God's temple is spiritual. That's what we saw in 1 Peter 2:5 now. You have built a spiritual house. God's temple is spiritual. It's not made of bricks. It's made of the Spirit of God. Alright? Destroy this temple. And so we see the Father's house. And it does not appear like that in Leviticus. We're going to see what is the bridge. How do we bring everything together? And Jesus calls himself that Father's house where sacrifices are offered. So he serves not just as a sacrifice to us, but because we also are now the Father's house, we must now take exactly what he has done and apply to ourselves. Is that Leviticus? Be you holy, for I, the Lord your God, is holy. We saw it now, Leviticus 19:2. Abi? We said that is the crux. Abi? That is, God wants to make you like him. That's Leviticus. He is a sacrifice, then you will be a sacrifice. He is a spiritual house, you will be a spiritual house. He is the tabernacle of God, not made with hands. You will also be a tabernacle of God, not made with hands. That is the entire Leviticus. You will be holy, as the Lord your God is holy. Is it making sense? Is it making sense? But why the repetition? So why are they not doing it? Just because of rebellion. Abraham offered once. Abel offered once. But Israel will offer every year. Because now every year they know they listen. Amen. Like Martin Luther King said. He said, I preach salvation by faith, through faith, every week. Because every week, my parishioners forget. Amen. So because of Israel's disobedience, wickedness, rebellion, adaptedness, Moses will keep saying it. The two kidneys by the flanks and the call above the liver. They come tomorrow and say, the two kidneys by the flank and the call above the liver. By the time they will come to the first time, they are the ones that will be saying it. The two kidneys by the flank. And we say we can make this sacrifice. Forget Aaron's sons. They will keep offering it. See, they will realize that Christ is the sacrifice. Are you blessed?